Looked at the Mishnah on page 13, and the
you
Mishnah.
Don't have
a
package for me.
No, I don't have a package for you. Where's that? This is it. This is it. 14.
My English is better.
Your Brazilian's good. Your Portuguese is fine, Marjorie. It's your. She's from Brazil. Okay, the end of the Mishnah in Sota went through a number of things we're going to see before Mashiach comes. Focus, please, in our sheets. Computers only open the blank pages. Thank you. One of the last things the Mishnah said was rather unusual. Let's have a look at it. Let's write it down, because the interpretation, we're going to look at three interpretations of what the Mishnah could be referring to. And the Mishnah went through and says, we're going to see that the wisdom is going to degenerate. Those who fear sin, those religious Jews will be despised. There'll be a lack of emet, of truth. Old people are going to put old people to shame. Old are going to stand for the young people. It's an olam hafuch, it's an upside down world. Usually young people stand for old people. Suddenly the young people get more respect. A lot of things which were historically unusual. We spoke about daughter-in-laws against the mother-in-laws. A man's enemy will be in his household. And then it says, do this in the Hebrew. Pnei hador k'pnei hakelev. 13 at the bottom. Pnei hador k'pnei hakelev. Let's write those words down. Let's go into them, because we've seen the other parts of it, but let's see what this one's about. Pnei hador k'pnei hakelev. The face of the generation will be like the face of a dog. Now, when you just read that, it sounds like a bit of an insult, right? Like people start looking like dogs. And it seems to me almost out of context with the rest of the Mishnah. Mishnah's telling me what's going to happen, what we're going to be like, and suddenly starts talking about. So there's a number of interpretations as to what this is actually talking about. Marsha and Rav Elchanan Wasserman gave a very classic understanding of what we're looking at. First of all, who are the Pnei Hador? Who are the Pnei Hador? The Pnei Hador, not the door is a generation, it's the Pnei Hador. Right, seemingly the people who represented the face, people who represent the generation, right? People who represent society, right? The famous people, the leaders, is usually how it's translated, at least by Rav von Wasserman. The leaders of the generation are the Pnei Hador, because they're the ones who represent it, right? When you meet, right? When, say, I went to see the America, right? Who's the Pnei Hador, the face of the generation? You see, the famous people, the leaders, like Obama, he's the face of the generation. You know, that's the interpretation according to that. So what does that mean? Why do they have the face of a dog? So one interpretation is Rashi. So Rashi says, and we'll see this inside actually, maybe this class we'll see. Rashi says that people will be untruthful. There'll be a lot of falsehood. Because dogs are very, very nice, but on the outside they're nice. You know what's happening inside, right? So there'll be a lot of sheker, inauthenticity.
Right?
One second. So on the outside, they're very happy. People will be very, very nice on the outside. They'll be very friendly. They're very nice. But inside, you don't know exactly who's got your back. You know what I'm saying?
Did you see that?
Did you
call me a dog?
No. I don't believe so. Yes, Javi.
But I thought, like, usually positive.
Oh, so, perfect. So some say that, yeah, but...
They're very loyal
creatures. They are loyal creatures. But on the outside, they're very loyal when you see them. But when a person has that, on the outside, they'll seem very, very loyal. But inside, they maybe won't be so as good. Right? Generally speaking, dogs are seen positively in Judaism. Yes, I have a...
Could it be that Rashi thinks this way because dogs and other animals only have that animalistic soul as opposed to a neshama?
Why a dog is chosen, right? Dogs happen to be outwardly very, very, very friendly, you know, creatures, right? Kelev, kolev, all heart, yeah? They're very, very, you know, they have this appearance to them, yeah?
How do you know what they're like on
the inside? Yes, by the way, this topic of dogs, by the way, out of every topic I bring up, people get very sensitive about it.
It's not a rational explanation, that's why. Everyone's like, I refuse to accept this. It doesn't actually logically...
Okay, you can disagree with it.
But I'm saying it's like, we're being told this, and we just have to accept this as if it's like a known thing.
When it comes to Torah study, you don't have to accept everything you hear, but you have to understand what it's saying. Like, I hear it, but I don't fully... It's a bit of a stretch. That's okay. You can do that. It's not a principle of our faith. They don't have to believe this. That's Rashi's interpretation. He's trying to say, Rashi, that on the outside, they seem very, very friendly. Okay, but when people are like that, when the Pnei Ador, the Pnei Kelev, the face of a dog is very, very friendly, but inside, maybe people don't like you. People are being inauthentic towards you.
So they put in a show.
Well, what? I can't hear so far away. So why a dog? Okay, fine. That's, you don't know what they're about inside. Because dogs are very friendly on the outside. That's why a dog was chosen. According to Rashi, anyway. Right? Falsehood on the outside one way, on the inside, very inauthentic. Rav Chanan Wasser says something very interesting. When you walk a dog, how does it work? Rav Elchanan Wasserman, he was one of the leaders of the generation before the Second World War. He says like this. He says, when you walk a dog, how does it work? Who is in front, who's behind? The dog is in front. Now, if you were to see a dog walking in front of a person, you saw that scene, what would you think? You think the dog is in charge. They're leading. Right? You think they're leading. That's how the vision would appear to you. Forget leash for a second. Leash. Who walks the dog, walks in front of you.
My dog walks next to me.
Generally speaking, I'm regretting bringing this topic up, by the way. I tell you. People are this generation. Oh, by the way, there's a reason why. There's a reason why in our generation there's become a fascination with dogs. I'm being very serious, by the way. And I believe that many people are, it's actually the opposite of what I just said, but still, or what Rashi said. We live in a generation where people are not very loyal, but dogs are very, very loyal creatures. And the Torah recognizes that, by the way. Right? Dogs are very, very loyal, which is why even in Jewish thought, in Jewish law, dogs get certain benefits that other creatures don't. Right? If you have leftover korban, not to shul kalev, refer to the kalev. Right, because the kalavim, the dogs didn't bark when the Jewish people left Egypt. Right, kelev loy chorus lashono. The dogs didn't bark at them. So dogs actually have a status. Right, and that's because they're kelev, they're all heart. So we live in a generation where people are so inauthentic, and they're so unfriendly. There's such a big disparity between people that people turn to dogs because dogs are the only things they have that they can feel connected to.
Who said that?
That was based a little bit on Rav Dessler, hints towards that, but I embellished a little bit. If that's okay with you. So let's go back to Rav Chanan. I'll come to another thing about dogs as well. So the dog runs ahead of you, right? So you think the dog's in charge. How do you know the dog's not in charge? At what point? Forget the leash. When the person makes a left turn, what does the dog do? He turns his head and then doubles back, and then follows the person. Says, Rav Chanan Wasserman, the beautiful thing. He says, the people, the generation leaders, what they're going to do is this. You think they're leading. You think they're in charge. But actually, they're not. You see, what you're going to see before Mashiach comes is that the people are going to be leading. How do you know? Because they're going to turn, and the leaders, like the dogs in this situation, this scenario, will be like, oh, that's what you want to do? I'm going to follow you. So they're really going to be acting upon what the masses want and demand of them. That's what he said. So it seems as though the dog's in charge, but actually turns his face around and says, oh, so the people have the power as opposed to the... It used to be the leaders had real power. Like the average leader, a king, was the judge, jury, executioner. They had real power. Nowadays, we see this. We see that the people... The politicians and the leaders just act on the whims of the people in order to get elected, remain elected. Yeah.
Do you think that the development of democracy has like...
I tell you, it's uncanny. That's what I see in this personally. That's what I see in this. That's what Elchanan Wasserman seems to be hinting at when he says this word and he says these words. And he has, by the way, this comes from a little book of his, which I have at home, a very small, thin book called Iklus of the Mashiach, The Footsteps of Mashiach, which we spoke about that metaphor last time. Yes, Rachel.
But here's the thing. The masses want to do a lot of crazy stuff. So where
does... And the masses do a lot of crazy stuff.
Right, so where does this draw the line? Like, are so they still making announcements?
So this is... Let's leave individuals out of it. But we see that the masses want a certain thing, and the leaders try, but they end up succumbing. It doesn't mean religious. It could be the government heads as well. It could be world leaders actually turn and do what their... society wants. They want this, and the leaders say, fine, you want it, we'll give it to you. So it's actually part of the decline of society. Okay? Couple interpretations over there. Rav Sipura Heller, I read something of hers, And she says that you'll see that people have will start to have relationships, like I said, with their dogs, and actually start to look. Have you seen people look like their dogs before?
Yeah.
You say you walk along the street and you look down, and you look up, and you're like, it's uncanny. It's like, you know, like there's like a pug, it's like a pug face, or like a bulldog, or a bulldog face. So she said, but she says more of the relationship with dogs. People have this, I think it's this authenticity thing. Okay, fine. Turn over the page. Turn over the page. Scholarship. We said scholarship is going to decline as well. That's Rav Yochanan the Gemara. I'm Rav Yochanan. Yeah, that's all I got for you. Tell me more. I'm Rav Yochanan. Dor shebet David ba, kabel chachamim, mitmatim, vashar, einehem, kalut. We're going to see that these Torah scholars will be few in number. As for the rest, their eyes, einehem, kalut, will fail, right? Yagon, vanachav, etzad, rabah, from all the difficulties and challenges that we are involved in. But these challenges could be physical, but they also could be spiritual. We're going to see there's going to be a lot of challenges for the Jewish people before Mashiach comes. Okay? People leaving the faith. But also, if you actually look at the last prophecy of the last prophet, Malachi, he actually says we're going to see children returning their parents to religion. All right? We'll see that quote later on. It's a fascinating quote. But we'll do that another time. Says Rav Dassler in this. He says, it's known in the world of medicine, they give healthy people inoculations by injecting a weakened form of the illness in order to get antibodies to fight them off. He says, so too in spiritual matters. It's sometimes necessary to inject ourselves with a state of extreme materialism, which we're seeing right before Mashiach comes, even at a time when the good inclination is not under attack, right? What happens over here, basically, by doing this, like antibodies coming to the body, and we end up fighting these things, and it arouses in us a reaction. So many things we see from which it comes are there to arouse a reaction, just like an inoculation goes into a healthy body in order to get something well. And she says that's the reason Adam HaRishon had to go into the world, sin that went into the world of physicality. Okay? He's saying this is going to be the test of before Mashiach comes. It's going to be such a uplifting of things that we're going to have to fight back. There's going to be a catalyst against it. Okay? So it's difficult, but he says ultimately that's going to be the best thing for us. Okay. He carries on in the same vein. Turn to page 15. There's actually a discussion in the Gemara, a very famous discussion in Gemara Sanhedrin, about whether you want to see it or not. And the Gemara brings down different opinions as to whether people want to see it or not. From the list we just saw, it sounds like not such a good time for the Jewish people. Physically, spiritually. So interestingly, the Gemara says very different opinions about whether they wanted to be alive to see Mashiach. Says the Gemara, Ama Ula, Yesei Vlochmina, let Mashiach come, but I don't want to see him. In other words, I want Mashiach to come, but I don't want to be there when this happens. Rabba said in a similar vein, Chen Amar, Rabba, Yeti Vlochmina, I don't want to see him. Says Rav Yosef, let him come, Yeti. Right? And I want to, if I could just be in the shadow of a donkey saddle, I just wanted just to be anywhere near him. So the exact opposite. Right? The exact opposite. That's Rav Yosef. He says, no, just to be alive at that time when Mashiach comes is going to be incredible. So a great disparity. Some say, I definitely don't want to be alive. And some say, oh, I wish I could just catch a glimpse. I'll be in the shadow of a donkey's saddle just to be there. So Abai asked Rabbah, who said, I don't want to be there. Why don't you want to see him? My timer. And he says, Elaim and Mashum Tchevishum Mashiach. It's because of the birth pangs that come before Mashiach. We said things are going to get much, much harder for us physically, spiritually. Is that the reason you don't want to be there? But he says, but we know Rabbi Elazar said to him, what can a person do? A person can be spared of Chevli Mashiach. So if you're scared of that, we know there's things we could do to lessen the birth pangs, which we know. What was that? Get involved in Torah. And Gimel Chasadim, we spoke about that, right? If you get involved in Torah and acts of kindness, that will bring the Gula to a quick end and will lessen the pain of the Chevle Mashiach. So he says, you know what? That's actually different. He says, Shema Yegrum Chait, I fear lest sin cause me lose my merits. He was nervous that his sins at that time, with all the temptations that are out at that time, would actually... He was saying the temptations and the ability to sin will be very prevalent before Mashiach comes. And that's what he was nervous about, not the tremendous spectacle that it was going to be. Okay, turn to page 17. So that's pre-messianic. And we're going to, by the way, we're going to review all of this through other source sheets. We're going to do a quick review of everything and see some more fascinating predictions. But let's look at the Rambam. So now let's actually talk about once Mashiach has actually arrived, declared, temple is up, everything's fantastic. What's it going to be like? What's the main change? So let's look at the Rambam. And the Rambam gives his answer. And he says, I'll tell you what the great benefit is. The great benefit has come from those days. Who? The main difference, pre-messianic, post-messianic, is that we are not going to be attacked by the other nations. They're going to leave us alone. No more anti-Semitism, no more rockets, no more Jews being killed, no more stabbings, no more attacks on our people. Done, over. If that is not stopped, Mashiach has not come. That is a postulate. It's a given. That's the Rambam. That's the Tu'alat HaGadol. That's what the main thing we're hoping for. We don't want the world turned upside down. We don't want to have all these wars. We want peace. Why are we so distant? Because we're being attacked physically, spiritually. Right? Our Jews are leaving us. There's internet. All that's done. We're not going to be hurt physically, spiritually. Right? Why do we want that? So we can get involved in mitzvot. The Tarabah HaChamah. And there'll be increase in knowledge. Right? Kimila Aris Deya. Because the world will be full of knowledge. Et Hashem of God. Kamayim Liyam Mechasim. The entire land will be full of water, of oceans, of knowledge, of information. Right? The Yishbitu HaMilchamot. There'll be no more wars. As Isaiah the prophet says, chapter 11, verse 9, the Kitfu Charvosam Leitim. And they're going to turn their swords into plowshares. And their spears are the pruning hooks. Does anyone know where that quote is written? That quote of Isaiah, our prophet, is written on a wall somewhere in Manhattan at the United Nations, ironically. A nation will not lift up sword against nation. There'll be no more war. There'll be no need for armies anymore. When I think of all that money we pump into armies and pump into warfare, which we need now, will be given towards good things. Right? That's going to go. That's what the prophet Isaiah was saying. That's what the Rambam is quoting. And we'll find in those days there will be shlemus. Shlemut. Rav. And will merit the life of the world to come. Right? Which will come after the resurrection of the dead. That's the main change, according to the Rambam, that we are going to see after Mashiach comes. And he carries on. Amnam, however, Yumata Mashiach Uzman Shetashu Amalchut Yisrael Yachzeru L'Eretz Yisrael. There'll be a time when kingship will return to Israel and all the Jews will return to the land. We're all going. Vayi Osa Melech, this king, we now know what that means, Gadol Ma'od, Ubeis Malchuso, but Zion will be in Zion. What did Zion? So originally they referred to Rish Lion, that's what it's referring to right now. Okay? Now they refer to it as Zionist as all of Israel. But we said Zion is specifically for Yerushalayim. The Yigdal Shemo, the Zachariah, Malegoyim, Yosef Melech Melech Shlomo, he'll be more famous than Shlomo Melech. Vishmu Ato, Kolomos, Vyavdu, Kol Arsos, the Tzidka Gadol, the Neflot Shia Shali Aliado. The entire world's going to be impressed by him. Every nation is going to be aware of him. So we're going to be back in Israel. We're going to have the third temple. Kingship's going to return with Mashiach, with this individual, right? And it's going to continue after he dies as well. But call me Shia, come alav, Yavdu Hashem, it's alav, Yavso Ato Biyadol. Anyone who rises against him will be destroyed by God. I'm giving it to his hand. They won't be able to hurt him. Okay? That's why Ezekiel the prophet, Yechezkel, 37:22, I'll make them into one nation in the land of Eretz Yisrael, upon the mountain of Israel, referring to Harabayas, and one king shall be a king to all of them. Okay? That's what it's about. Says the Rambam in Hilchot Malachim, turn over. Uba'oto azman lo yesham lo rav lo milchama. There'll be no starvation. There'll be no more hungry people in the entire world. The entire world will have fixed. How? maybe supernaturally, maybe not supernaturally.
Is it also Rambam?
Yes. Is the Ram Hilchot Malachim, 12:5, page 18. Lo yet, sham lo rav, lo milchama, lo china, lo tachrot, there'll be no more jealousy, no more competition. Vasha tova tiyeh, mushpat harbeh. All good is going to be everywhere. You're going to find all good foods everywhere. All delicacies will be available to everyone. Right? Whether it's going to be genetically modified, I got no idea. But somehow, maybe they'll take all the money they're spending on war and give it towards agriculture and goodness. I'm not sure the way it's going to happen, but it will happen.
Is kashrut
going to
be a thing?
Is kashrut going to be a thing? That's an interesting question. Supposedly, yes. But there is one creature that will become a kosher. I don't know what creature it is.
Okay.
Giraffe is kosher.
Giraffe.
Giraffe. Giraffe. Oh, yay. I'll do the Bella. The pig, they say. The pig is the chazir. The chazir means lachzor, to return. They say actually become kosher. Some say it literally means that we're going to start eating like ham sandwiches. Okay, Rachel, don't get too happy about it, Rachel. However, some say no. It refers to Edom. Edom, the galut we're in now is Edom. It's compared to a pig, okay? And it means that they're going to teshuva and come back. So it's a metaphor for Edom.
You mean like they're going to come back?
They are going to stop hurting us and they're going to do teshuva. That's what it means. No, pig. Rachel, you've got to listen to the full sentence.
Wait, does that mean you can own a pig?
You can own a pig. I don't know whether we'll be back at the pig farm.
You can't own a pig now?
The Gemara advises
against it. Endear yourself to a pig or something?
Something happened in history the Gemara speaks about that they were involved in pig trading and it was not good. So, in advice, it's not a job for a good Jewish boy or girl to be a pig farmer.
What if you just want a little, like, piglet
is a pet.
Doesn't he crush trees? No. Well, they have a lot of different animals.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, they have a lot of different animals.
Own a farm or something?
Yeah,
yeah, but if you're like a pig farmer, it seems to be you work in pig farming as opposed
that's
to just, you know.
Also, isn't there a thing where, like, when Mashiach comes, all the negative men supposed to become positive?
There'll still be Isurim. You still won't be able to kill,
like,
but the desire for those things... The desire for killing will be reduced at that point because Hashem will fill the entire world. It will be very, very obvious. We'll see the Ramban. We already did that Ramban. The Yetzirah will be reduced a little bit.
What happens
if you sin after that? That's a good question. Let's look at Yeshayahu Navi, chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. This is all about the temple in Jerusalem. This is our prophet. This is our temple. This is our Jerusalem.
Wait,
Vayo,
you...
yes.
Sorry, what was the reason why this is going to be so short?
If you take it literally, because Azir, there's really some change in the nature of the pig. Kosher, and some say it's a metaphor for Edom, who are compared to a pig. Because pigs are the only creatures that look kosher on the outside, but on the inside are not.
Right, right.
Right?
What do you mean by Edom, though?
Edom is the fourth Gal of Rome, the Gal of Rome right now, the Western world, possibly. Most people say it is. They're going to do Teshuvah, right? The pigs in return is a metaphor for them returning, as opposed to us eating pork sandwiches. It's going to be the end of the day. Look inside of the prophet. Nachon Yer Har Beit Hashem. The mountain is going to be established. Barosh Harim, on the top of all mountains. Remember, that's Yerushalayim. V'nisa Megiva V'naru Elav Kol HaGoyim. And all the nations are going to stream to that mountain. V'halchu Amim Rabim V'amru Luchu V'nale. Let's go, all the nations are going to say. El Har Hashem, to God's mountain. El Beit Elokei Yaakov, to the house of the God of Jacob. Because we know that out of Zion will come Torah, and out of the word of God, so not only Jews, but non-Jews are going to stream this after all the wars and all the potential terrible things, and everyone is going to go there. See, that's going to be the center of the universe. It already is, by the way, if you look at read the news, but ultimately that's going to be the spiritual center of the universe for all people. All other religions will dissipate. Israel, Yerushalayim, yes. There'll be no more churches, no more mosques. They're going to all want to say this is the... maybe they'll change them into the correct religion. It's not PC. It's AC. It's not politically correct. It's absolutely correct.
But why would there be any mosques or
Why would there be any other...
Well, there are, so they're going to be removed. They won't be there. The other religions
will
be
removed. I'm saying, like, in the world at all. Like, why would anything be around?
I'm saying they won't be around. Or maybe they will stand as structures, but they'll be used for the right purpose. It's a great mitzvah. If you have a church that turns into a synagogue, that's a great mitzvah. You just can't turn a synagogue into a church. But if you don't want to be out there, yeah.
But it's not like people aren't Jewish.
Yeah, yeah, they'll be Jewish.
Jewish.
Absolutely.
So
they're still, they'll still be
in the,
they will still be not Jewish. Because there's a false gods. That's a false religion.
So
you can't worship a false religion. They will be doing Shiva Mitzvah Noach. They're involved in studying, coming close to Hashem. But they won't be Jewish. They just won't be doing false religion. Just like you have people
but
who follow...
But they're supposed to daven? Like,
yeah, absolutely. Who says that Jews are the only ones that daven? Sure, they should be communicating with Hashem. Why not?
They're supposed to be communicating
with Hashem direct, not through false agents. They should be doing that right now.
I don't really think that's possible. How would you have belief in
it? I got less problem with that than the temple in Jerusalem with the mosque on there right now. That's more of a thing. But that's what's going to be like. By the way, it's not so unusual. The Rambam actually says one of the reasons that these false prophets even existed, so when the real prophet comes, and why kings exist, is that people understand the idea of malchus, the idea of royalty. It won't be such a foreign idea, he says.
It's like they're supposed to believe in something, but they can't act upon it.
They can act upon it.
They
says
can't,
they can't
do anything that we do.
Oh, you're saying in terms of mitzvahs?
Yes.
Well, that's what they do right now. They don't act upon it. What do they do now? What mitzvahs do they have right now?
They
can't have, there's only one true belief. They all have one connection to Hashem. That's why they can't follow a foreign god. Yeah.
Isn't it that Islam does believe in, like, one God?
It's closer than Christianity for us right now, yes.
So they don't believe in a false God.
They believe in false... Better not spread the share, but they believe in false prophets. That's why they're trying to kill us, many of them. Yes, it's a false religion. They were sold a bag of false goods. It says, Rav Tzadok, the main revelation of the oral law, page 19, right, will be through Mashiach. Right? He's going to teach us a tremendous amount of Torah and clarify things. Many times in the Gemara, you see an expression, teku. Teku. There's a discussion, they say teku. What does teku mean? We don't know the answer. Tishbi, Yataris, Kushu, Abayas. Right? Eliyahu Navi will come, bring Mashiach, and he will answer all the questions you know the answers to. All the questions, right through history. Right, but Jewish law is why you don't know the answer. Here it is. Here's that Ramban I mentioned moments ago. It's from Devarim 36. Let's learn it inside. The Torah says, Umal Hashem Elokecha Levavcha. Hashem will circumcise your hearts. Then Levav Zerecha, and the hearts of your children. It's not a physical circumcision. Remove the barriers that are what? That are blocking us. Lavat Hashem Elokecha. B'chol Levavcha B'nafshcha B'chol Chayecha. Your heart, your soul, that you shall live, says the Ramban. Since the dawn of creation, man has had the free will to choose whether to be righteous or wicked. The Cholzman Torah came, and so it was the time of the Torah. Right? Even after the Torah was given, you were given a choice. You want to follow, follow. You don't want to follow, don't follow. There's consequences, but you have a choice. Mashiach, says the Ramban. There's going to be, and this is hard for us to understand, very difficult to understand, because we live in a world where we naturally have free will, but there is going to be a greater push, leaning towards the good. That's going to be the natural state. He says you're not going to desire bad things. I don't understand that, because we live in a world where everything is very grey, but it's going to be a lot more black and white. Yes, Lindsay.
Isn't it a thing that since our Yetzer Hara is so strong that, like, when you don't do something or when you do good, it's like a better reward and it's like a harder reward?
Lufum sa'agra, says in Pirkei Avot. Yes, the Yetzer is very, very strong, so we are rewarded according to that.
So
but this is there's no more reward at that point. That's the point. We've reached post that point.
But, like, the whole point of something to say, like, Olam Hazeh is prepared for Olam Haba, but,
yes,
like, you can't really, when Mashiach comes, it's like... With
done! Doors closed.
So
new existence.
Bad, you said. So
you do, no, you can't do that. It said no beforehand. Since the beginning of creation, it's been good or bad.
You said it's going to lessen.
Well, what?
You said it's going
to lessen. He over here seems to think that people simply don't want it.
So what's the point of existence when Mashiach comes?
Enjoying Hashem's presence. We'll see when we talk about Olam Haba, we'll talk about that, and that is discussed among the commentators. Just the reward, just being, as opposed to chasing. Let's have a look. Let's look at how these are difficult ideas. I'm giving the sources. These are not easy ideas. Says Ezekiel the prophet, "V'natati lachem lev chadash." I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm giving you a new heart. Ruach chadasha, and a new spirit. Etem bekivrachem, I'm going to put inside you. I don't know if this literally means heart transplants will be happening. Well, they are. V'asiruti et lev ha'avin, I'm going to take out your heart of stone. Mibesarachem, from your flesh, says Ezekiel. V'natati lachem lev basar, I'll give you a heart of flesh. Says Rashi, lev chadash, yetzer shenet chadesh l'tova. An inclination that has been renewed for the better.
What's renewed?
Your heart. Scary, but it sounds good.
What does that mean, like it's like flesh?
That means it's, ooh, I want to start this today. How long do we have? 13. Oh, you have so much to do. That means is we won't be, it's a metaphor, flesh, meaning we are, rather than stone, we reject things, we'll be more human, better people. Better people. Okay, let's stop the class over there. We did a little bit. Let me give you back your midterms to go through them. And next class, we're going to do a massive review of everything in a different source sheet that I have for you. And then we'll find out why the Jews reject Jesus by looking at the verses, specific verses, which is fascinating, which I've collected for you. Actually, the back of these packets. So bring these packets back. And then we'll see six clear prophecies that Mashiach is actually very close. Okay? That will be over the next few classes. Okay.